Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Noon or the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Emily, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous and have had a spiritual awakening and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except when the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from our AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. And then we will split out into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked, where'd he go? I think it's Bill to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. I'm an alcoholic named Bill. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
All right. Thank you so much, Phil. Today we will hear a talk on step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, from Devaldus G. from Chicago, Illinois. Please give a warm welcome to Devaldus. Looking forward to hearing your share. The floor is yours.
There we go. Hey, y'all, Devaldus alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober. I got even a little bit more nervous. Maybe it wasn't meant for me to share today. No, I'll just mess with y'all. Devaldus alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober. Thank you, Emily. Thank you. Who asked me to share? Christine, I think. asked me to share my experience, strength, and hope on step three. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I take guys through the book. So I sponsor sponsors when they allow me to, when they allow me to. And I have a home group, Drunk Scott Double Speaker Mean, from Chicago. And I'm in the solution. I do a lot of service work. I do a lot of service work, and I know this is step three lead. But I chair a meeting on Monday. I chair a meeting on Friday, on Wednesday. I chair a meeting on Thursday, and I also chair a meeting on Saturday. Big book study on three of those days, and a daily reflection meeting on one of those days. And I'm a speaker seeker for my home group. Friday Drum Squad Double Speaker Meeting. All are welcome. That information can and will be put in the chat by someone that's from the Drunk Squad if they're here. Let me get a quiet time so the guy to my understanding can come in and the Velders can have a seat in the trunk. God, I thank you for everything you've given me. Thank you for everything you've taken from me. And I thank you for everything you've left me. Thy will, not mine, be done. Once again, my name is DeVellis, and I'm an alcoholic. And my first drink was a drunk, and my last drink was a drunk. I came in around the rooms defeated, hopeless, penniless, broken, and didn't know where or what to do. You know, because I was tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired until I got to the end of myself. I never wanted to stop drinking. I just wanted the consequences to end. I just wanted the pain to end. I just wanted the chaos to end, and I just wanted the drama to end. And I always wanted to drink like a gentleman. I always wanted. I thought y'all was gonna teach me how to drink when I came around here, but then y'all told me complete abstinence, and I said, "What an order! I can't go through with it. That's too much for me. Drinking, not drinking for the rest of my life. I can't go. I can't do it." And I went in and out, in and out, in and out, and I picked up some tools as I came back, went back out. I picked up some tools when I came around here. Y'all told me mean makers make it, right? And so I just made means. Right. I just made means. I made meanings alone, and meanings alone don't keep me sober. That's one of the tools that keep me sober. One of the tools in my spiritual toolkit that if I pick them up, I will stay sober. But it's some more work to it. It's some more work to it. I got to come around here and want what y'all got. Right. And in wanting what y'all got, I kind of wanted what y'all had. I didn't want to, and with that kind of wanting what y'all had, I wasn't willing to go to any length to get this thing. I wasn't willing to do what y'all was doing, get a sponsor, get a big book, work the steps. I got a sponsor by name for a long time, and I never utilized that sponsor. And I only got a sponsor because in the recovery homes, in the treatment centers, they said you got to have a sponsor to stay here. You got to have a smile. So I just choose any old body, right? Like, and I never called them. I never worked. I never made it again. And I rarely opened the book, right? Because the first few times that I came around here, I walked around with my Bible, right? And in my word, it says God will heal me, right? So I trusted in that process, right? Like, and I trusted in the church, right? And I just only made, I went to meetings because it was a requirement around a treatment facility, and I would beat people over the head with church, with Bible, right? Like, and I remember a counselor saying, God ain't gonna take the drink out your hand. God is not going to take the drink out your hand. It's more to it. It's more to it. We suffer from a illness that only a spiritual solution can solve. And I got a resentment with him. And I drank at him. And I drink at a lot of things around. I came around here drinking at a lot of things. I drink at people just because they don't do what I want them to do. I drink at people, right? Like, and it wasn't until this time around. This time around, I was thoroughly convinced. I was thoroughly convinced. I got the right beat down. I got the right alcohol did for me quickly. In the beginning, alcohol did for me quickly what the steps do for me slowly. It relieved me of the bondage of self. And then it stopped working. Then it reared its ugly head on me, and I couldn't stop even when I wanted to. That makes me an alcoholic. Because once I start, I don't even know if I'm ever gonna stop. Right? Like I stop when I pass out or run out of money. Right? Like, and I said I'm never doing that again. I'm never gonna pick up again. And then as soon as I get a little money enough to feed this ism that's in me, to feed the alcoholism in me, the alcoholic. I need alcohol to feed the alcoholic. I needed something. And as soon as I pick up a little money, off to the races. I was off to the races doing the same thing, expecting different results. And this time around, I came in here on three wheels. And let me explain that. I was driving on expressway. My tire rim comes off my car, right? And instead of putting it back on my car, I put it inside my car and proceeded to drive on my brakes. Full flight from reality. I'm gone. Like, off to the race. I had $10. So I got to mention, I had $10. So I was going to get what I needed. And I had to get there by any length necessary, right? November 27th, I said a prayer. I said, God, you've taken everything. You've given me everything that I wanted. Why haven't you taken this away from me? Why haven't you taken this alcoholic, addictive mind away from me? And at that point, I know once my tire rim came off my car, my transmission shot from underneath my car from driving on my brakes, sparks everywhere, people moving out the way. And I sat back, I sat in my car, and I remember what y'all told me. That was the grace, though. Y'all said, he coming back. And the guilt and the shame and the remorse, I didn't want to come back because I didn't want everybody to talk about me. And I suffer from what y'all think about me. And I come back in the rooms and y'all welcome me with open arms, greatest show on earth, y'all. Like, I come back in the room, I make a mess of my life, and y'all clap me back in. What an order, right? That's a miracle, right? Like, that's something that you don't experience unless you come around here, right? I come around here and my first admission of honesty. I walk up to, I had to take a train and two buses, to treatment. And in Chicago, it's fares $2.50, sir. And they wouldn't let me on. I'm talking about every time I tried to go to the liquor store, go cop, whatever the case may be. It was fare $2.50. You can't get on unless you got $2.50. But this time, as a result of admitting complete defeat. And getting honest, I go up to the lady and I say, I'm trying to get help. I'm trying to get to a treatment facility. Can you please let me on the train? The lady said, go ahead, baby. I'm going to pray for you. Go ahead, baby. I'm for grace. The grace. Because I became willing. The grace of God. When I become willing, that enter, that allows the grace of God to come in, right? Like, the grace always been there. Like, the grace of God always been there. I just had it blocked by my unwillingness, right? Like, and I come around and I start getting honest, and then I had to take another bus. And the same thing, he let me on. And it's always the third bus when I tell this story. It's always the third bus driver. He said, go ahead, little dog. I'm going to drop you off right in front of the place. Look at God. Look at God. And for that dude, if I ever run it, I don't even know who he was. I can't remember. I pray for this guy every day because he helped me when I couldn't even help myself. God placed the right people at the right time in my path. Right? And he opened up the Red Sea for me. So I go to treatment, I get in treatment, and they told me when I finished that first treatment, they told me you gotta do another treatment. What? I just did treatment, kicking and screaming. I don't want the solution, right? Like, I don't want I get 30 days and y'all tell me I gotta do another 30 days to save my life and I don't want it, right? Like that's my delusional thinking, right? My delusional thinking tells me that I don't need that. That's too much for me. What an order. I can't go through with it, right? Like, and that kept me in bondage for a long time. But as a result of letting go, getting out the way, And I didn't even know I was practicing the third step. Like the power, my in step two, the step two showed up long before I admitted I was powerless. That, like, God was showing up all the time, the whole time, sending me back around, y'all, doing some things that I couldn't imagine, and I denied that power. I denied that power. My ego would take solution and rip it right out of my life, y'all. My thinking. So y'all introduced me to this power, right? Like, y'all introduced me to this power in step two, and y'all gave me something to live by, right? Something to place my hope in. I placed my hope in this power. And as a result of placing my hope in this power, I get to step three, right? I get to step three and I make the decision. I mean, it's only a decision. Three falls on a log. Y'all heard it. Like, I make the decision to turn my thinking and my action over to the care. God don't love me, y'all. Now, he don't care for me, so why would I turn it over to something that I just got introduced to? Because I don't feel that God, I'm not good enough for God. And I feel that my thinking tells me the problem in my head, the dilemma in my head is God is not big enough for this. God can't fix this. God can't fix the mess that I made in my life. That's the dilemma in my head. But I was oh so wrong as a result of turning things over to the care, like turning my life and my thinking and my action and my little plans. They don't work. I thought they was going to work. I don't want to give them up because they're my plans and my thoughts. I made them up. They came up. Hey, this got to work this time. And I'm a press until I can't press no more, until I'm all out of ideas. I try every imaginable remedy, y'all. I've tried everything that, if you want to know how to get drunk, let me, come talk to me. I'll tell you every, and you want to know how to try to stay sober, come talk to me, because I've tried everything. And I come around here and y'all give me a new way of thinking, a new way of being, right? Turning it over as I understand them right now. I know it ain't me. I can't fix me. I try so many times to try to fix myself. I can't fix a broke brain with a broke damn brain. It don't work. I can't fix my thinking with my thinking. It don't work. So I got to get rid of this thinking. I got to die to self. I got to be willing to die to self. And the more I become willing to die to self, I get out the way. Step three is take me out the way so I can better carry out my assignment. And I'm in my assignment today, right here, right now. My assignment, excuse me, my assignment today is to share on step three. And I don't really want to do it, right? Like, I don't want to do this stuff, but this is the requirement of staying sober, giving away what was so freely given to me as a result of turning it over. And I don't do that perfectly. I don't turn it over perfectly. I turn it over, I take it back, and then I get the pain, and then I return it over after I get the pain, right? Like, I don't just keep it there, right? Like, so this is a process of continuing to turn it over. Step three is continuing to turn it. I got to continue to turn it over. And when I say this third step prayer, is I get this, I love when my sponsor says, do something with me. Do something with me, y'all. Relieve me of this bondage of self so I can better carry out what you would have me be, you know? So I offer myself to God. So that for me, I surrender all. I surrender everything, withholding nothing. I give myself away so God can use me, right? Like, I give this finite thinking that I suffer from, I give it away, and God does some miraculous stuff in turning it over. And I'm not going to go into step four, but it's doing the rest of the work. That's the decision I'm making. Do I want to stay in the problem, step one? Do I want to get into the solution, step two? Or do, like, is weigh it on the scale. I weigh this thing on the scale. Now that I've made it that decision to go on with the work, now I got to start stop playing God. It don't work, right? Like, I got to get out. I got this is the how and why of it, right? Like, we had to quit playing God because it didn't work. Every time I play God, I'm selfish. I'm into self, and it's all about me. And I try to fix everybody and everything around me. So I'm controlling, like, and that leaves me in, restless, irritable, and discontent every single time. Every single time, y'all. My troubles, I think, is of my own making. I know my troubles are of my own making. Like I make a story up in my head because I'm into thinking instead of into action. I make a story up in my head. I make it true, and I cause drama because I want to run a show. I want to run a show. Instead of being the actor, I'm the producer. Like, I produce these things, right? I produce this drama, this trouble, this chaos, this pain that I suffer from, right? Like, and I found out that like God knows better for me than I know to know for myself, because I don't know. And I know that not knowing is where God is for me. God is in the not knowing. That is a spiritual statement that I say to myself. I don't know. God, you take me. Do to me what you will, right? So I do better on the new management, right? I got a new manager. I do better. Like, and God makes the best me I can be, y'all. God makes the best me I can be. And God won't, like, so the story, my story, got me a seat around here, and in that story, I wasn't okay, and turning it over, God would not do worse for me than I've done for myself. I took a look in the mirror, like, dang, this is your life? Like, why don't you turn it over to something other than yourself? Why don't you give it away to someone? Because what you made, the mess that you made in your life, is not working. I had a sponsor that said, how's that working out for you? It wasn't working out. Like, every time I take my wheel back, my life becomes totally unmanageable. So I say this prayer, I get on my knees and I say this prayer, and I say, take away my difficulties. And I thought he was just going to snatch them away. I thought he was just going to take all my difficulties and throw them to the wayside, and I'm going to be free, right? Like, that's not what the taking away my difficulties mean. Taking away my difficulties, it means I'm able to stand in the face of. I'm able to walk through the challenges of life, right? Like, I'm able to go through and get through. I don't go through things no more. I grow through things because I'm induced with this power. My sponsor says, like, you're running out of steam because you're relying on self. Don't you remember self-reliance fails up? Like, every time I rely on self, I'm gasping for air. I'm gasping for air. So I turn it over. I got to ask myself, what do I got to lose by turning it over? What do I have to lose? So with this prayer and with this step, as a result of taking this step, February 28th, January, my mother got sick. February 28th, my mother passed away. March 9th, I buried my mother. March 10th, I'm standing in front of a podium sharing about how I'm staying sober throughout it. Because on my fearless, I stated that I don't know if I'm going to stay sober if I lose my parents. Right? A month later, my uncle died. My dad's brother died. I took my dad to the funeral. The next day, my dad had a stroke, another stroke. Just lost my auntie last month. My sponsor said he couldn't sponsor me no more. Lost my girlfriend. I'm talking about losses. But I found that as a result of turning these things over, making the decision to turn these things over, when I'm down to nothing, God is up to something. I think it's a loss, but it's also actually a gain. I with the willingness that I get in step three, I gain the access to the power that keeps me sober. I don't work the steps today to stay sober. I work the steps to get closer to this power, and God keeps me sober. God keeps me sober one day at a time. I do this deal, like I do this deal. I do this deal. I made a deal with God, right? Like I made a deal with the devil, and he lied to me. And in step three, I get a renewing of vows, right? Like I get a renewing of vows, and I make this deal with God, and trusting and relying on God has not produced any baleful results. I'm satisfied customer as a result of turning it over. Step three for me is only by affirmative action that we can cut away the self-will, which always blocks the entry of God into our lives. I got to cut this stuff away. And the more I turn it over, the more I give it to God, the more I die to self, the more I say, I can't, you can, I'm going to let you. The more I do these things, the more the grace of God can come in and do for me what I can't do for myself. So I trust this process. And throughout this year, like I've been through, this has been the most trying year of my sobriety. And I'm still sober, y'all. I'm still sober. And September 13th, I'm on a meeting talking about trying to help, trying to give away what was so freely given to me. And I'm trying to transmit a message that will help somebody. And I pray to God that he tailors my tongue and uses me as he sees fit. Right, use me, Lord. Use me. And if I had $10,000, then 10,000 tons, I would praise God. Like so God is taking away my difficulties so I can be a better demonstration of what the power can do. Sitting here sober with 1,779 days sober, trying to be a demonstration of the power. God, do with me as you please. Do something with me. But when I ask him to take away and I ask him to do something with me, man, just make me okay with it. Just make me okay. Today, I'm sitting in front of I'm starting a new job. I told y'all I had to quit my job, and they kept me out for a month and a half at a time, and I couldn't do it. And my daughter, when I was out there, when I was on the road, my daughter was acting up in school, and they asked her, like Misha, why are you acting like this? What's wrong? You know what she said? She said, I'm acting like this because I miss my daddy. Broke my heart. But you know what I got out of that? At 3 years old, she knows the exact nature of her wrong. Like that's a miracle for me. Like so something I'm doing allows it to be transmitted through my kids. Right? It allows the program to be shown, a demonstration in our respect of homes, lives, and other affairs, right? Like I just trudge this road, y'all. Like this is the fellowship I crave. I'm starting a new job. I'm in orientation right now, and I told them I had to go to a meet, and they said that's fine. That's fine. So I grow up to show up. I suit up and show up. I show up, and God does the rest. God gives the increase. And with this life that I have, my life is amazing. It's not what I want it to be, but I know I'm in my assignment. And I stay in that. And I love this way of life. I love what God is doing to my life. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, y'all. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yesterday was my auntie's funeral, and I was emotional, y'all. Like I couldn't get there, and I couldn't. It's one of my favorite aunties. I'm talking about. I went there, and she cooked a 5-course meal for me, just with me, right? Like she, you are you coming? And she was preparing. I didn't know she was gonna make this meal, but she cooks like my mother, so I love her cook. Like so, as a result. God, I can't do this by myself. I can't do this alone. I need your help. I need you to take away these things that's blocking me from you and do with me as you will. I just don't know. I just don't know. And my life is transformed. My thinking is transformed. one day at a time. It didn't happen overnight, y'all. Like, I didn't think like this. And I didn't think 5 years ago, I didn't think, I'm in the story. My sponsor says, you're in the story, but you're not the man in the story. Like, you're the story, but the man that's in the story is not the story. Look at God. Look at God. I'm real grateful that I was asked to share because my God works in threes for me. You know, my God works in threes for me. He has me share 3 days in a row. I don't know why. Every time he has me share 3 days in a row, something miraculous happened or I'm going through something and I need to, it's something about to happen, and whether good or bad. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it always comes in threes, right? So this is the last of the three, y'all. I'm waiting on, because I made a decision to turn my will of life, my thinking and my actions over. I'm waiting on what God is about to do. I look, y'all. Like so. I need to say this. With me and my God's relationship, I ask God why. It's when I figure it out. I try to figure out the why. That's when I get into control. But I ask my God, why? Like, God, why? Or why not? Why is this happening to me? And the more I come back, the more will be revealed. And the more being revealed, the more God will be revealed. That's what that means to me. So I trust this role. I do the next right thing, and I stay in the now, right? I stay right here, right now, where my feet at. And now I get to pause, process, pray, proceed. I ain't got to act out like I used to act out. Like, I, as a result of me making the decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God, I get to go through the rest of the steps, and I get to make an amends with my daughter's mother, and it's not so bad, y'all. It's not so bad. I had already, look, this program is amazing. Anybody new? I got 3 minutes. Anybody new? Welcome to the greatest show on earth. Your life will change if you wanted to. Trust the process. Do those things that's the uncomfortable till not doing them feels uncomfortable. Be obedient, and the understanding gonna follow. It's gonna catch up. If you want what we have, do what we do, you're gonna get what we get. And what I got. I was looking for the cash and prizes. I was looking, y'all said, like, I suffered from retail therapy. That was my higher power. Like, that was my higher power for a long time. Like, she was my higher power for a long time. But I made a decision to turn my will and life over to her and to clothes and to jewelry, and that didn't fix me. Get a God. Get a God of your own understanding. Get a God that cares for you and loves you and wows you, right? Like, I got a God that laughs and dances and sings with me, right? Like, I got a God that does the miraculous even when it don't look like it. Stay in it. Anybody new? The program of Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life, and I'm rocketed it into the fourth dimension. I'm rocking it. I wouldn't get this up for the world. I think that's all I got. With that, I will keep zooming back. I will keep running back. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and stay. I'm a grateful alcoholic. Thanks for allowing me to share.